Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! You may be seated. Bless the Father for all things tonight. For His goodness, His mercies, His kindness to us all. I bless Him for that. For watching over our souls and protecting us from the wiles and the corruption of the enemy that comes to corrupt our minds and our thoughts and to rob us of that seed of life. And that is the true word that He imparts into our souls that it may bring forth fruit. And so for that I'm very grateful and thankful unto the Father. For what am I but a wretch? And yet He has made us in the image of His dear Son, that we may be complete in Him. I was listening to a program of the day, and they were talking about this healing in the nations, or the nations of the world. Yet they began to spew their documentations of how those that were religious and churchgoers, how that there was some kind of sustainable health from that. But there is no health from it. None whatsoever. And so men today in the midst of that, they're seeking out, it is not faith anymore. They used to say faith. It is simply now their own spirituality. You understand that? It is not counting on, quote, a God, unquote, but one's own ability to determine the destiny and to be their own strength where they find in their inward beings or their inward parts. And so even the terminology of God, that is simply being eradicated. Well, who is the God and what is the God? Do you not understand that every religion today use that expression to express their deity, whether it is a goddess, a god, it is superior to them. And so that thing that they count as superior has the pinnacle or the strength of their minds. And they give themselves over unto the leadership or the guidance of that. And so what God, when we talk about this God, I do not believe that Yahweh was confused with the other gods. He was set apart. Because His name was set apart from every one of them. His name was not in association with any of them. And nor is it today. For the scripture calls Satan the god of this world. He's a god that He has blinded the minds or the eyes of many, whereby they cannot understand or see the power of this truth. So which God do we identify? We began to call upon gods in our spirituality, and that's what they call it today. Everyone is spiritual today. And that's why there is no allowing of Yahweh to lead them. Don't you understand that He led Moses with 5 million people out of a place whereby they thought they had security, and yet there was no security there. They thought they had comfort, and yet there was no comfort there at all. How is that? Because they began to weep and cry because of the bondage that they were in. It was great devastation. They were being oppressed. Pharaoh had begun to exact an extreme amount upon them. So it wasn't a pleasurable situation. And yet when Yahweh began to lead them, they began to cry to go back into that corrupt situation. That is why in this hour, my friends, we need the healing power of Almighty Yahweh. You understand that we must be whole and complete in Him. Soul, mind, spirit, and body, we must be complete. And it lacks nothing at all. This is a generation that lacks much today. Messiah said, He that is whole, that's what He said, complete, thoroughly furnished, that has the understanding of the Father, He said He need not a physician. But a man that is sick, he needs a physician. But the minds cannot grasp the purity of His truth. He must possess an identity that is not associated with pagan identities. And that's why He has a name that is set apart from every name.
His name is Yahweh, and Messiah came in the Father's name. He is and was the Father in flesh. And that is why he had to come in that name, because any other name would have separated him from the identity of Almighty Yahweh. He did not come in a name to separate him from the Father. But his name identified with the Father. And if we will literally search the scriptures as the Bereans did and open our hearts unto truth, then he will he will reveal that unto us. He saved us because he commissioned that. That is why we are saved from the foundations of the earth. He ordained that for me to be saved. It wasn't because of my mother's prayer or your prayers. He saved me because he ordained that. And those that he condemned unto condemnation, before the foundations of the earth, he ordained them unto that condemnation. Now that's him. And you cannot change that at all. I want to be guided in the scriptures. That's something I want to read. I pray that Yahweh bless your hearts tonight. And certainly he's going to bless my heart tonight. I want to be guided reading in the book of Acts, chapter 10. We need the healing power of Almighty Yahweh. And that is, we must be made complete and whole in him. Now the scriptures tells us the process of coming into this completion. When a man is complete, there is no light in the man's soul. It is one thing, a body that is not immune to certain diseases, that all kinds of diseases overtake that body. When a man's immune system is very strong, then the diseases will not overcome or overtake that man's physical body. And so it is in the spiritual realm. When a man is sick, he needs the physician. And there are many sick minds today. They regurgitate the healing balm of Gilead. When he began to speak healing medicine unto them, they began to regurgitate that and resist that. Because it has a bitterness in their bellies. And it doesn't seem as though it has the sweetness there that they perceive ought to be there. This nation and the people, the saints of Yahweh, we need the healing power. Not just heal from some bruise or some physical ailment. Because physically man can give you certain things to dense the pains of those things, and that's a fact. You can say what you will or may. They have the ability to do that. But that doesn't make one whole or complete. Because he still relied upon the components of flesh. His natural mind, his natural feelings, his natural abilities. When a man is made whole, there's a spiritual growth in a man's soul, and he knows where his might and his power has come from. Men today, they give great honor and reverence unto doctors and the medical profession. And yet there is no acknowledging of Almighty Yahweh, no whatsoever. But this is what the scripture says. Peter says in Acts chapter 10, I want to begin reading at verse 34. It said, then Peter opened his mouth, and he said, of a truth I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of person. He said, but in every nation, he that first of all, that feareth him. Now who are we fearing? What is this one? What is his name? Who is the one that you actually feareth? Now, Peter was not talking in some generic terms. He was talking specifically because the scripture will show you he talked specifically. He said, but every man that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. He acknowledged that man and he receives that one. He said, the word which Yahweh sent unto the children of Israel. Now, Yahweh did send the word unto them, for he is the word. He has not changed in the Old nor to the New Testament. What we see in the New Testament is the mighty power of this revelation of whom he is. That he literally can be touched by the infirmities of man. That he feel and he sense the infirmities of man. He made a creature with this mighty power, and he had the sense, the ailments and the infirmities of that man. So he came in the body of flesh. That he may sense that and know that. That is why this is a generation that's getting very weary. They're weary, they're fainting, because there's no true love for the truth. They would rather have traditions, and their little, quote, Sunday go-to-meeting, their little church attitude, and their little false gatherings, that never deal with the things that are in their hearts, never deal with the sin that corrupts them, never deals with that separates with them from the Father, so they rather not have that. They say, prophesy to me lies and good things. Tell me things that are convenient unto me. They don't want someone to speak a truth, to reveal the mighty judgment of this great Yahweh, and to know the personality of this king. And that's what he did in that body. He wanted us to know his personality and actually whom he was. That he has the ability to feel and to hurt and to know those things. If you had a came in the mighty power, just simply him and his spirit, then that would not give us still no resolve at all. So he had to come in the body. It was him in that body of flesh. It was not some other person. It was Almighty Yahweh. It was not another, quote, God, unquote, but it was Yahweh in that body of flesh. And our doctrines have caused us to miss it. And our doctrines are based upon our feelings and our emotions, what things we perceive are right, but they're not right. Jeremiah talks about the pen of the scribes, how they wrote with lies and deceit. They were the scribes. You search the scriptures, you'll see what it says. And how they're deceitful pens. How they wrote, how they scribe things in text. And yet Yahweh calls this great prophet to speak of their deceit and their deception and their lies. And he wrote it in that book you think you know that you got in your lap. It's in there. You just don't read it enough. You read it enough, you'll find out there are many things in there that you never knew that was in there. And so your principles are based upon the little things that you think you know, and everything is built around those things. He says in verse 36, the word which Yahweh sent unto the children of Israel, he said, preaching, look at this now, preaching peace now, by Yahshua the Messiah. He is master of all. He says, that word, Peter said, that word now, I say, ye know, which was published throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John. He said, now that preaching began to go forth after the baptism of John. And it began in Judea and Galilee. It's where the words began to be preached. Of this Messiah and this hope of Israel. For Israel was in a deep, deep despair. The Roman judgment was upon them because of their sins and their corruption. And so Yahweh came in this mighty power of flesh to bring unto them the hope and the peace of salvation through that physical body. It's an amazing thing, saints. And the only way we will ever understand that is by faith. You can't rationally perceive this. You try to figure this in a natural mind, you will never understand it. You must move beyond that old mind that binds you and holds you to certain laws. The spiritual laws release you into the realm of a spiritual law. And your way is spiritual. And our natural mind hold us to a natural mind whereby we cannot perceive anything at all. And that is the identity of this generation. It is a sick generation. The mind is sick, the head, the whole body is sick. Now Yahshua had to have the anointing to heal. It was not an anointing of his own power. That's not what the scripture says. It says, how your way. Now, I know what the King James says. It says if you have a King James, it says how God. But it says how Yahweh. Anointed. You understand what that is when one is anointed? He has furnished him with all that is needed for the mission to be accomplished. Now see, his anointing did not just come from a God. And how Yahweh anointed Yahshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And it says, for Yahweh was with him. It says in that text to King James, for God was with him. Now how could he do it unless Yahweh was with him? Now how are we going to do it unless Yahweh is with us? And so he has, as Messiah said, that the Father will not leave us comfortless. But he will pray to the Father, and that the Father will send us another comforter, the Holy Ghost. And it tells us how the Messiah was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about healing. He went about healing all those that were oppressed by devils. He made them whole. He brought them to a spiritual sanity, a mind that could identify him. Now that is what we need today, saints. That is the wholeness of Yahweh. We can't truly identify who he is today. We got this speculation, but we must know him. You must know him. And that's the difference between knowing of and knowing. You must know him. And we say we know him, but we truly don't know him. What a man truly knows, there's a confidence and a comfort. What a man truly knows, if you knew that the police is behind you, if he followed you 50 miles, you would not break one law. Say what you will or may. He can follow you 50 miles, he's behind you. He's not going to get behind you. You began to worry about that. Why is he following me? And instead of doing 55, you will drop it down to maybe 50, 53. You will not break that speed limit because you know that is the truth. That is the truth. You will not go 65 or 75. You will do the speed limit as long as he follow you. And if he follow you 100 miles, you will do the speed limit that 100 miles. And all of a sudden you find yourself within the confines of that law. You find a comfort in that. And so when a man truly knows him, we truly know him. And we know him. And we're going to obey him. And do what he commands us to do. And we're going to seek after him. And we're going to pursue him. Many today are not truly pursuing him. They're not following after him. They're following after, as this world would say, their own spirituality. They're getting in touch with themselves. Their most inward being, their hearts. And that heart is deceitful. It's a very wicked thing. And that is what they're communing with, their own deceitful hearts. They're not communing with the Father. They don't have the aspiration to know the mind of Messiah. And we need to let that same mind that was in him be in us as well. And so Almighty Yahweh anointed him. That's what Scripture says. And Yahweh anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now we anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Are we sons of Yahweh? This is our gauge right here. You can sit in hypocrisy all you want to pretend, but this is our gauge right here. He gave us this book to gauge us. This is just like a mechanic's book. When a man doesn't understand certain functions of the engine, he goes to the book. And he finds out the function or the sound and where that is coming from. And he began to doctor all that thing, or he deals with that certain aspect of the engine. That's what he does. And so that is what this book is. Now, if we are whole, we don't need the physician. If we are healed, we need not the physician. This is a mindset that is not a whole mindset today. When a mind is whole, there's only one thing that it desires. And that is the kingdom knowledge. The knowledge of the Father. That is what it desires. And that mind is given over unto the things that are pure and righteous. The mind today, because it is not a whole mind, it is given over to every kind of corrupt thing and every kind of vile thing. The thoughts, the desires are given over unto everything that causes one to become sick. And our souls are sick. Our mindset is a sickening one. Our ideas about life is sickening. It has nothing to do with the fullness of his power. But if I don't understand the fullness of that power, he is free. He is free. What about is free, he is complete, he is whole in every aspect. His physical being, his spiritual, his soul, he is not bound by any power of darkness. That's what the scripture says. Messiah, what about healing all those that were oppressed by the devil? And when he healed them, they were whole. They were made every bit whole. They were complete. Their sins forgiven, and they were cleansed. It was only when man began to turn their hearts and go the other way. Now, there's a reason why there's no healing today. There's a reason why the people are not whole. Because the scripture tells us that. It is in the scriptures. And the scriptures tells us how we can be whole. If we do, it's a simple thing. It's not a very hard process. It's a very simple thing. It is so simple that we are so foolish we can't even see it. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Now that's where it all starts. Do we obey the truth? Do we obey the truth? You begin to search your heart and see if you obey the truth. Well, I did that and that, but do you obey the truth? We should not live by just bread alone, but by every word. Every word he speaks is truth. And so we don't obey the truth and we are foolish people. We're just like the foolish Galatians who have bewitched you. Now, he was anointed. He had the fullness of Yahweh in him to heal. And that is the only way we're going to overcome the powers of darkness, the oppression of the enemy. We must have the fullness that's all in this physical body of Yahweh that we may be whole and complete. Healing did not start with Messiah. It started in the beginning. It was in the beginning. Now, the scripture tells us in Exodus chapter 15, verse 24. This is a generation that is not, it doesn't love the Father. This is a very unhappy generation. And David said, behold, happy is the man that Yahweh correcteth. When Yahweh corrects a man, that man is happy. He's a happy man. And therefore, he tells us, therefore despise not the chastening of Almighty Yahweh. Don't despise his correction. When Yahweh corrects a man, that man is happy. And don't despise the chastening of Almighty Yahweh. David said he makes sore and also he bind it up. That's what the Father does. He maketh us sore. He bind us. He woundeth us. That's what he wounds us. He allowed Messiah to be wounded. He wounded him. And if we are that body of Messiah, then he wounds us as well, saints. And then he makes us whole. When he makes us whole, there is no sign of that wound or that scar in a man's life. None whatsoever. There's nothing that the flesh can draw back on to gravitate to and to draw strength from. Now, when a man is not made whole, he goes back to those things and he draws back unto perdition. But when a man is made whole, he doesn't draw back under perdition. It says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 24, after Yahweh had brought this house out of Egypt, and the people murmured, 15:24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree, which he had cast in the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute, he made a law, and an ordinance. And an ordinance is a form of justice. How his justice is dispensed. He made there a law, and he showed them the justice of that law. And there, the scripture says, he proved them. He tried them. He proved them. To show them actually what was in them. When you take a pair of mules, as the old farmer would do, he will, before he would buy the mule or the mules, he would prove them. He would test them to make sure that they were able and capable of the task that was set before them. And so Yahweh put a task before them and he proved them there to show them actually what was in them. That there was no strength, no healing in them, no fullness in them. And that's what he's doing in this hour. He is testing, he is proving his people in this hour, whether he is alive and real, his law, his ordinance, his statutes are real and alive in him, or whether they are not. So that he gave them a statute and ordinance, and he proved them. He tested them to show them actually what was in him, what in them. And he hasn't changed at all. And the scripture says in verse 26, and said, if thou wert diligent, now he gave them four statutes, an ordinance. This is what he said. If thou wert diligently hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, diligently, with all effort and desire, hear what he said. And the only way you're going to do that, you must have the spirit to hear what he says. And so he said to us, if you diligently, Give all earnest of heart. Give all your purpose and desire to hear what he said, to hearken, to obey, to receive what Yahweh says, and do and will do that which is right in his sight. He said, first of all, hear what I say. Secondly, do what's right in my sight. He said, and will give ear to my commandments. You must give your heart to my commandments and do what I command you to do. Hearken, first of all, do what's right in my sight and give ear to my commandment. And then he said, and keep all my statutes, all of his laws. He said, keep all of them. He does not say keep some of them. He said, keep all of them. We must keep all the word of Yahweh. Every word is pure. And so we must keep all that he has commanded us to do. He said, if you keep all of my statutes, he said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And he says, for I am Yahweh that healeth thee. For Yahshua was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. When Miriam withstood Moses, and when she began to speak against the man of Yahweh, as the leprosy overcame her, as it did. And the scripture says that even as Moses interceded for healing, even Yahweh said, no, if she spit in her father's eye, then she would have to suffer this thing for 7 days. So let her go without the camp. And for 7 days, he put her out. And the scripture says, and then he healed her. Then Yahweh healed her. And so it is that he is the one that makes us whole. And Yahshua is the peace of that wholeness and the fullness of Yahweh. Why? Because he has experienced what we have experienced. He was a man upon this earth. He is the and was a son of man. So he has experienced every hurt, every pain, every trial. He has experienced that. And through that great wholeness of whom he was the fullness of Yahweh in that body. The fullness of Yahweh dwelt in that body. The fullness, all of his fullness was in that body. And so it shall be in the saints today. You can't have partially light and partially darkness. You can't walk in sin and light at the same time. You can't do right and wrong at the same time. You can either do one or the other. You cannot be given over to the forces of darkness and a mindset that desire dark things and say you delight to walk in the light of Messiah. It can be somewhere that the mindset of man in this corrupt generation, as I began to do even a little more intense study, as I look at secular things, even the name of Yahweh, it is so documented in so many places that every religious organization knows it's the truth. But they are afraid of the mass of the folks. You can find in all kinds of encyclopedia, all kinds of books, it's there. He has a name. It is not a generic form of a name. It's not Lord and it's not God. Every deity is called a God. I don't care who he is or what she is. She is called a God. He has a name that is above every name. For there is no other name given whereby we must be saved. And only Yahweh says, for salvation belongeth unto him. It doesn't belong unto anyone else. And his name is not a Latin name. It's a Hebrew name. As he spoke to Moses in Hebrew, his name has never changed. Nor will your name ever change. 1,000 years, you look at that grave, John Lynch's name was to be John Lynch. So it is with Yahweh. His name has never changed. It has never. It has never. His name is an everlasting name. I bless him for that. Now, I'm not offended at it. You can, but I'm not. What a beautiful name. And how Yahweh anointed Yahshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And it says, for Yahweh was with him. I actually say, for Yahweh was in him. There are a lot of things in scripture, the way that it was translated. The words are not just precise in this form of language we know as English. This Babylonian language, it is, saints. And that's just the truth. This is a generation that is so diehard about a King James that has had 6 revisions. And yet they think that no one has a spiritual insight, that Yahweh has dealt with only one man, They don't even know, they can't name one interpreter of the scriptures. They don't even know how the combination of men, how they were compiled, and how they were brought together to even interpret those scriptures. They don't even know what kind of material they use or what things, what length of time. They don't know anything about that. Nothing at all. Nothing. That's why his people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. This is an ignorant generation. And it frowns upon reproof. It doesn't want to be corrected. This generation doesn't want to see the darkness of its own heart. It doesn't want to see that. And so it digs down in the old darkness of its own heart, of their own hearts, to look for some comfort. And that ought not to be. He's going to reveal himself in this hour to his people. And he's not going to be revealing just some God. You're going to have to know him. You're going to have to know him. When Paul walked down that road to Damascus, he knew the one that was talking to him. He did not, I don't believe he said, oh God. Because there were many gods. He knew the one that was talking to him. He knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly who he was. And that's why Paul was on his way to Damascus to destroy those folks. For they were using a name that they ought not to have used. And when you use that name, they said, if you use it in any text, you're actually blaspheming. Using it in vain. And that's where Paul went, to destroy those folks. That's what he was going to do. Paul said in Colossians, listen to this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And also Colossians chapter 4. It says in Colossians 2, 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of Yahweh in body. Now that is how that actually should read. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him, Messiah, dwelleth all the fullness of Yahweh in body. That was the fullness of Yahweh in body. That's all that could be in that body. That was the fullness of Yahweh in that body. And they said, and ye now, we now are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. Now we are complete, or we are whole in him. When a body is not in him, he is not whole. He is not complete. And so we're not in him, we're not complete, saints. And that's when we find our minds and our spirits are engaged into all kinds of things. Because it's not in him. For if we are in him, then we are complete. When something is complete, is it finished? That's what complete is. It is thoroughly done. And so in him, Messiah, we are complete. For in Messiah dwells the fullness of Almighty Yahweh. And so in that body we are complete. In him. We that are in him, we are complete, or we are whole. We are healed in him. We are made whole. And when Messiah healed one, he made them whole. You search the scriptures, you will see. And they were made whole. I will read from scriptures to show you. They were made whole, or they were complete. The woman with the issue of blood, I will read that. When she touches it, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I know that I shall be made whole. She didn't say I was going to be healed, because that's the fullness of his healing. That is, there have been people that have gotten healed, and yet they're not whole. They're not in him. There have been sinners, corrupt men, during the great revival of this nation, they were laid on by hands, and they were healed of all kinds of diseases. But yet they were not whole. I show another example. There were 10 leprosy that Messiah healed. And yet they all went their way. And as they went, they were healed. And yet only one turned around and came back and realized and began to worship, began to rejoice. He said, did I not heal 10? Then where are the other 9? You see, that one was complete. He was whole. He was in him. Now the other 9 were not in him. They were not in him. And so we are complete in him. And when something is complete, it lacks nothing. When you complete an assignment, it's finished. You stamp finish. And so in him we are complete. And when we are not in him, we are not complete. We are not whole, we are not in him. And so that's why we don't sense the healing power. By his stripes we are healed. We were made whole by his stripes. That was the purpose of his stripes, to make us whole. heal and complete, not this mess. What they call healing today is no healing. No, it isn't. What about his thoroughly healed? He is whole. He is complete. When the woman touched his garment, she said, "Father, just touch the hem of his garment. I know that I shall be made whole. I shall be complete. In him is where my fullness lies. In him, saints." And so what the enemy is trying to do is draw us away from that. And we take our fullness or our wholeness is in, it's in things that are so carnal and material and natural. And it's not there, saints. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 12 of Colossians, verse 12, one verse, he says, "Epaphras, who is one of you," as he wrote unto the saints of Colossians, he said, first of all, "he is a servant of Messiah. Saluteth you always, laboring fervent for you in prayers." That's what he labored for now. Papyrus. He labored for them fervently in prayer. Now that is the place we need to truly get to, fervent prayer. It's a prayer of fire. It's a burning in a man's soul. It's one of urgency. We need to get to that place of fervence. Fervent prayer. It is an earnest prayer. It is one that is sincere. It is one of devotion and dedication. It's not just some kind of little physical movement, saints. It is one of earnest. The intent of the heart is pure. Now we must get to that place. That is the truth. We've got to get to that place of earnest prayer. We can kid ourselves all day long. We can walk with this religious aura. But we must get to the place of earnest prayer. Earnest prayer. And that is when one is truly contending for that profound power to fill his soul. And he will know that when Messiah, when Almighty Yahweh steps down into the inward parts of his soul, there's a fervent fire and a burning in a man's soul. You're not going to tell me this one that you call, quote, God, unquote, that when he lays his hands upon us, that we don't even sense him or touch him. I know that it is him. When he puts a burning fire of his word down in our soul, is it something just for a little goosebump or a little feeling? His word is a fire to purge and to cleanse. To cleanse out all the dross and all the sin. That's what it's for, saints. He says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant, a Messiah, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer." For what reason? "That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of your way." That was his prayer for the saints. That they may stand complete, whole, in the will of the Father. That's the prayer. That they may stand complete and whole in the will of the Father. Now we must stand perfect and complete. Now Paul prayed that was wrote thousands of years ago. You think that is more urgent now than it was then? It is more urgent now than it was then. It is more urgent now than it is then. And so we must stand complete, perfect in him. In the knowledge of his will, that we must do his will. And the only way we're going to do that, he must dwell in us. He must. "For that mind, no man, the things of Yahweh are so high above us, so far from our natural thought." The only way we're going to know that is he dwelling in us, and that he revealed himself unto us, saints. It has to be. Yes, it must be a very personal thing in your life, that you must know him. We must know him, saints. And when a man truly knows him, when he truly knows him, then he will walk in that fullness, that wholeness, and that completion. We are complete in him. We are made whole in him. And we find ourselves not to be in him. We find ourselves in our flesh, in our attitudes, in our carnal ways, in our own personalities. It's not him. It doesn't produce his light, nor does it produce his righteousness. And so we find ourselves doing that. We find all kinds of diseases to our minds, to our spirits, our thoughts. Every kind of foul thing, every kind of disease comes in and overtakes us. Our thoughts become very corrupt, filthy, vile. Our love becomes very unpure. It's not a sincere thing. Our compassion is not pure. Why? Because we haven't kept the statutes and the ordinance of Almighty Yahweh. What about is truly whole in Him? He is not sick. And this is a generation that's very sick. You can look at yourself and see how anemic and how sick you are. How frail. How you fall. A sick man fall. When a man is weak, when he has no ability to walk, he falls. And we find ourselves falling into perdition, into sin. And it kind of all kinds of corrupt manners and all kinds of corrupt things. And that should not be, saints. We need to be in Him. We need to get out of ourselves and our flesh. We've allowed the strength of that flesh to rule too long. And that's why you don't sense that great healing. You don't sense that great healing. You don't sense that great wholeness of Him. When the mind is at peace. When the mind is settled. When the heart has confidence. But there is no doubt at all. What a man knows when he goes to the hospital and he allows those doctors to operate on him, cut out some cancerous form of some kind of cancer, and the doctor says to that man, you have no sign of cancer at all. His heart rejoices. He gets fat. He began to think about his activities, what he's going to do. That's how the mind thinks, saints. That's what it gravitates to. And we are holding Him and understanding that there's no sickness or diseases in that body, that our mind should be that way toward Him. We ought to rejoice. We ought to be glad when He corrected us. We ought to shout that He has brought us into the marvelous light. When a man rolls out of that operation room, he can't move anything. Yet when they tell him you're going to recover 100%, that is his healing process right there. Just those words. And that ought to be our wholeness, that to know that we are in Him. No disease can touch us as we're in Him. No corrupt thing. If I'm a corrupt man, you and him, I can't touch you. I can spew all kinds of disease form doctrine. It won't touch at all if you're in Him. When we are truly in Him, those things will not even destroy us. They will not touch us at all. We must be in Him. We're complete in Him. In the body of Messiah dwelt the fullness of Yahweh. It was the fullness of Yahweh in that one body. And so we began to find ourselves in Him. We are complete, saints. We are complete. And then we will walk in the perfect statutes and the perfect laws of the Father. We find ourselves walking in natural things that we know we're not walking in Him. You're outside of Him. And then you find yourself getting sick. You're very agitated. The least little thing unnerves you. The anger, the hostility, the madness began to arise. The fears. And so what we need to do is find ourselves in Him. And the Scripture tells us how to be in Him and how to walk in Him. It gives us, this is our roadmap to life. This is the medicine book for our lives. This book. It's what the healing balm is in this book. There's no disease that should overtake the saints of Almighty Yahweh. We're complete in Him. Sure we are, saints. And that is what the enemy has done to hinder us, that we cannot walk in this fullness of Almighty Yahweh. The Scripture says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. I want to read a couple of verses of that. Matthew 9, 21. For she said within herself, that's what she said, a mighty issue. She said within herself, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole. Not just healed. I shall be whole. Now the healing is a part of that wholeness. But she said, I shall be whole. Why? Because she would know that He is the fullness of Yahweh. She had heard of this man and the great power that he had administered. Why? Because Yahweh had anointed. They had heard of the story that there was one coming. That Yahweh would anoint, the Father would anoint. And He will go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed by devils. She was not just there by coincidence. She had heard the story of this man. And she believed that it was Yahweh in flesh that had come to bring about the restitution. And so she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch his garment, I know that I would be made whole. She didn't blare it out. She just simply said that to herself. If we could truly touch him, saints, we'll touch every kind of sin, every kind of corrupt thing. We'll touch it all. Every kind of vile thing, we'll touch it. The thing that he tells us not to lay hands on, we have laid hands on to those things. She said, if I could just touch his garment, I know that I will be made whole, complete in him. For he is the one, he is the hope. If I could just touch and get a knowledge of that, then that revelation will come to fruition. It will begin to produce fruit. Hope. I can believe it. I can trust that. That is what she said. If I could just touch his garment, I know that I shall be made whole. And if we could touch him tonight, we shall be made whole. That's why we're not whole, because we're not touching. You're touching sin. You're touching the powers of hell. You're laying your hands on every kind of corrupt thing. You're laying your hands to the plow of your wicked heart. And you need to touch him. And he tells us how to touch him because his word is truth. Yeshua was flesh. He was the word of Yahweh made flesh. And we must touch the word. We must allow it to be embedded into our hearts and our souls. If I could only touch him, she said, I know I would be made whole. But Yahshua turned him about. When he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. He said, thy faith has made thee whole. That's what he told her. He said, your faith has made thee whole. And the scripture said, and the woman was made whole from that hour. He said to the woman, when he asked her, how many husbands do you have? He said, the one you have at home, he's not yours. And yet he told her, because he spoke words of fullness and wholeness to her, he told her, go and sin no more. And so the scripture says he was made whole from that moment. And when he truly touched you, you will be made whole. When you are truly touched by him, you will be made whole. From that moment, she was made whole. There was no issue. In our lives, there are all kinds of issues. The issue of this, the issue of that. You're not whole. Do you not understand? Even in the place where Moses, where he put the tree at Miriam, where he put the tree in the bitter water and to make it sweet. Don't you understand that was a bitter experience that Yahweh brought them to prove and to show himself there that he's sweet. And he's sweet, I know. That's why he did that. To prove how sweet he was. He was sweeter than the honey in Egypt. He's sweeter than the honey of the honeycomb. She was made whole. And the issue did not proceed anymore. And when there are issues proceeding out of your thought, your mind, you're not whole. You got an issue with that? You got an issue with the way they do this. You got an issue with the way they do that. You got an issue with this. You got an issue with that. You got an issue with that. You're not whole. The scripture says she was made whole. When a man is made whole, there are no issues. Why? Because he's complete in him. And for him to suffer even in him, what a great reward to suffer in him. If there are issues in your life, you're not whole. You're not even complete at all. And you need to be touched by him. And you need to get before the altar with earnest and fervent prayer. When a man has issues, he's not whole. When you got issues, you're not whole. When a husband and wife have issues in their marriage all the time, there's not a witness there. There's not a completion there. That is a complete number one. Nor the number like one. It's one. You can divide two by one. But you can't divide one by two. Whole. And complete. And so when there are issues, when there are bloody issues, sinful issues, that's what the scriptures, the Old Testament, when it talks about the blood, touching blood. It's talking about sin. And that was a sin issue. It was a bloody issue that flowed from her. And your issues are full of sin. They're full of murdering and sin and corruption. They're full of your own ideas, not full of faith. They're not being generated by the heart of Yahweh. And yet the woman was made whole from that moment. She was made every bit whole. And when the Father touches a man, he's made whole. When he's truly touched. When there's an experience with the Father, he's touched. She had an experience with Almighty Yahweh. What? If I could just touch him, I know I would be made whole. And if you can get to the place where you can touch him, we need to get there. And the scripture tells us exactly how to get there. It's a simple process. How to get right before the Father and you can touch him. You can. That issue that flow from her are the examples of the issues of our lives. We got an issue about that. We got an issue about this. We got an issue about that circumstance. And we need to allow him to touch us, that we can be made whole. If you purpose that in your heart, if I could just only touch him, I know I'll be made whole. That's what you need to set your heart to do. If I can touch him. If I can touch him. That is some religious form. That was some ouch and some bump or some wiggle of your feet. That's not touching him. It's a heart of faith. The heart that will not deny his truth. And you not remove life or death. You stand on the comfort and the assurance of the word of faith. For you to live is sin, for you to die is gain. You know you've touched him then. Now we can quote those scriptures and say them, but it has to be alive in our souls for asking for them to bring about some kind of fruit. It's easy to say it. Yes, easy to say it. But it takes faith to live it. When a man has that heart of faith, you always touch that man. You don't have much faith today. That's why he said when he comes, will he find faith? You're not going to find him in whole people today. The woman was made every bit whole. And that's what we need to hold this, saints. Sure, you have a little ailment or hurt or sickness, and he heals you of that. But that doesn't make you whole. You see, when a man is made whole, there will be a praise that comes forth out of his mouth like nothing. I will show you in scripture. When a woman made whole, there are certain fruits that come when a man is made whole. When you're not whole, there's no praise and accolades unto the Father. Matthew chapter 15. It says in verse 21, Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Joshua went thence, and he departed into the coast of Tyre, Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Joshua, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. This is what she said. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. Drop down a few verses, verse 25. Then she came as he spoke unto her that this bread was, this is the children's bread. It's not meant for dogs now. It's not meant for you. And then she came and worshipped him. She simply fell down and said, she began to kiss his feet, I believe, and say, I understand that. She said, Joshua, help me. I know what you're saying is right, but just help me. I need help. But he answered her and said, it is not me to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth! Joshua, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Joshua answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. As thou wilt now. That's what he said. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was made whole. She touched him. She came and she fell down at his feet as she touched him. And she began to kiss his feet and say, I know, I understand that. I believe what you say. And yet the dogs desire the crumbs that fall. It was just not the healing of a daughter, but she needed to be whole. And the daughter's desire, the healing is just not the thing. They need to be whole. Why? Because you walk in good health today. You heal, but you need to be whole. You need to be complete in him. Yeah, we're so healed, we don't even thank him for the little simple things. For the ability to walk and talk, and the smell and the senses all operating. You never think about that. Doesn't even cross your mind. But when one is whole, they're perfect and their mind is constantly reverencing him and blessing him for what? For everything. Because that one is whole know that in all things you give him thanks. And the mind is constantly before him, giving him thanks. Thanksgivings. And this is not a mindset of this nation, this generation, this assembly, and what we call this wicked religious world. It's not there. We can kid ourselves and say it is. We can betray, we can deceive ourselves and say that we are holding him, but we're not. And we need to get there. And we need to touch him. Just one touch from him will make everything all right. You've had a religious touch, but you haven't been touched by him. We need that touch. He said, woman, thy faith, as it be with you. it shall be. And from the same hour the daughter was made whole. I believe that when the woman came on the door and began to shout, I know scripture doesn't say that, but she knew there was something that more than miraculous. When Yahweh makes a man whole, he does something, he just doesn't touch the flesh. Because no flesh is going to tear before him. Flesh doesn't mean anything. He allowed the flesh of Messiah to be beat to a pulp. So it's not the flesh. He does something in the inward parts of a man. He does something there. That's why folks will go to the doctors in the hospital and get cut all today and they go back and drink and lie and do just what they do. When Yahweh does something to a man, he starts in the inward parts. And he works it out to the outward parts. He doesn't just touch your wicked flesh. He knows that that stuff is corrupt. It's going to die. It's going to rot away as we have seen it here. But he does something in the inward parts. And he makes the heart complete. He makes the heart whole in the mind and the spirit. And when that began to prosper, as John said, beloved, I would above all think that am I as prosper and be in good health even as thy soul. And when that is whole, that old flesh cannot fight against that. And that's the truth. And so from that hour, the daughter was made every bit whole. She was complete. Sure she was. And that is what this daughter of Zion must be. She must be made every bit whole. She must be made complete. Complete, saints. Whole. Perfect. We try to think about it. We try to talk like it's by, but it's now and now. Now is the acceptable day of time of salvation. When you hear the voice of Yahweh, harden not your heart, for now is the acceptable time. This statute, this ordinance, this law, it is a now thing. It's not something in the distant future. Now the scripture says in the same hour the daughter was made whole. In the same hour you must be made whole. We're in the last hour. You must be made whole in this hour. There's still another hour promised to you. You need to be made whole now. The scripture says in Mark chapter 6 verse 56. David said, with my whole heart I sought him. With my whole heart I sought Yahweh. Now you judge yourself, what are you seeking him with? He said, with my whole heart, I sought him. There's nothing like honesty. Nothing like it. That is one of the most, that is the greatest liberator there is. David said, with my whole heart, I sought him. Now we measure what we seek him with. But that's what he sought him with his whole heart. We seek out every kind of pleasure. We go at it wholeheartedly. That's what the world says. You did think they said we're going to do it wholeheartedly. And David said, with my whole heart I sought him. You're going to have to seek it with your whole heart. You can't do this thing with partiality. He doesn't want partial. He wants the whole heart. And David said, with the whole heart I sought him. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 6 verse 56. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or countries, look at this now, they laid the sick in the street and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the borders of his garment. Do you hear that? And as many as touch him, was what? Was what? They were made whole. As many as touch him, they were made whole. They're sinners. He's healed. That's wicked man that he is healed. But a man must touch him to be made whole. And the scripture says, as many as touch him, they were made whole. And they followed him. They followed him. They followed him. That's what they did. They followed him. They followed him. Now, this book doesn't give every account of Messiah, what he did in every little detail, but they followed him. And everywhere he went, when they brought him out in the cities, they brought them out, they were made whole. Of the sick, they were healed, but they were made whole. They knew that truly this was Messiah. This was Yahweh in flesh. And there was no doubt about it, because they knew only Yahweh can heal. He's the only one that can heal. Nobody else can heal. All the gods of the earth can heal. Only Yahweh can heal. Only Yahweh can heal. All the gods, they know God. They're damn gods because they're on their way to darkness. They can't heal. There's only one Elohim. Yahweh. He is the one that healed. Why? Because the anointed Messiah of Nazareth. And he went about doing good. And healing all. that were oppressed of the devils. He healed all folks that were oppressed by devils. And he brought them. Whatever city he went to, he brought them, and they were made whole. They were made complete. Their minds were given over unto that knowledge of whom he is and whom he was. And our minds are just not there, saints. Why? Because you just haven't touched him. You just touched the board of his garments. That's all we need to touch, just the garment. If you truly touch that, then we will be made whole. And there will be no issues. You will have no issues with him. You will have no issues with the brothers or sisters. You won't have no issues with anyone. You will have no issues at all. And you got issues. You got issues about this. You got issues about that. Now we can be hypocrites and deceive ourselves and think that's not so. But that's so, preacher. That is so. That's so. She had to touch him for the issues to stop. And you're going to have to touch him for the issues to stop. You touch sin every day. You touch corruption. You touch your vile ways all the time. You touch your corruption. And it increases the corruption in your own heart. It is not someone else's that is corrupting you. It is your own corruption that is corrupting you. It is your own deceitful heart. You can't lay the charge on no man. I bless you always for that. You're not going to lay your sins on no one. You're not going to say, because of you, I did. No, sir, you're not going to say it. That's just it. If I provoke you, then you're always proving you to show you what is actually in your heart. And the thing must come out. And she touched him, and she was made every bit whole. And David said, I will praise him with my whole heart. Turn with me to John chapter 5. I want to read this quickly. John chapter 5. Yahweh wants you to be whole tonight. That's what he wants for his house. Oh, the healing, the fullness of him. John chapter 5. I'm not going to read all this, but I do want to start at verse 1. Glory. At the pool of Bethesda. Let me start here at verse 5. The scripture says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Yahshua saw him lie, and knew that he had not a long time in that case. He said unto him, wilt thou be healed? He said, wilt thou be made whole? That's what he asked the man. He said, will you be complete? Will you be made whole? You made whole. Then you know who I am. The impotent man answered him, sir. See, he didn't know who he was. That's why he said, sir. He didn't know him. The woman with the issue said, but if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. He said, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I am come, another steppeth down before me. Yahshua said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Look what he said. Now, he told him to rise, take up his bed, walk now. And the scripture says, and immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed, and he walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, is it the Sabbath day, and is it not lawful for thee to carry thy bed? He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now you hear that? He made him whole. He made him complete. Messiah knew what things to be done on the Sabbath. So he said, you're made whole. Not only you're healed, but you're made whole, man. He said, the one who told me to take up my bed and walk, he said, the one to say made me whole. Then answered they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? He said, and he that was healed was not who it was. He didn't even know it was. That's what he says. He that was healed, you're not who it was. For Yahshua had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. After Yahshua findeth him in the temple, look at this, saints. After he findeth the same man in the temple now, he said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. What? He told him at first he was made whole. He picked up his bed and walked, didn't he? He healed him. He saw him in the temple. He said that thou art made whole. He said, sin no more. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Yahshua. Why? Because he told them to sin no more, which had made him whole. And then did the Jews persecute Yeshua and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Yeshua answered them, look at this now. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He said, because of my Father working, I just do what my Father is doing. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, I do it. It is the Father. It is Yahweh the Hill. He said, my Father, he came to bring glory unto the Father, saints. I know the scripture talks about in places whereby they worship Messiah. You must understand the form of worship, what they call worship too. The women, I believe the woman, when she went before Messiah, she went, she fell and she began to kiss his feet and anoint his feet. I believe that. I believe that, saints. He came to bring glory unto the Father. That's why he said, Father, glorify thy name. He said, not only have I glorified, I will glorify it again. I will glorify my name. It will be made known. It will be a pure name. And men will know who I am. So he said, the works that my Father do, I'm just doing them because it is the Father. So that's why I can do them, because it is the Father. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broke the Sabbath, but he also said that, quote, God, unquote, that's what that scripture says, was his Father. And it was not just saying God was his Father. It was in Yahweh. That's what it was saying. Making himself equal with Yahweh. Because there were men, all kings were known as gods. They were birthed of the gods. They were birthed by the deities. So that was no strange thing. Herod was a birth. They had their lineage with the gods. All kings, all rulers. They were supreme beings. They were the supernatural power. That's what kings were. So it was no strange thing. The Jews knew that. But just the name that he preached in, that was the reason. That was where all the controversy came. That is why they were upset with him. We that whole, we need not a physician. You that whole, you don't need no healing. Now, you don't need no physician. You that whole, you need not a physician. We need to get whole, saints. And we get whole, I'm telling you, we get whole, then these diseases will not come upon us. That's why he gave them statutes and ordinance, and to keep them. You do that, then you're walking in his completion. That's what he gave Israel. He gave Israel statutes and ordinance. He gave them laws, and he showed them the justice of his judgment of those laws when they broke them. He said, you do these things, and none of the diseases that came upon Egypt will I bring, none of them. Now, he cannot lie. He can't lie. He can't lie. And his word is everlasting. He never changed. His word doesn't change. He's Yahweh. So when he says in the beginning, it's still the same today. Bring forth the light, bring forth the earth? Did he not make man? It was back then, wasn't it? Still true today. It hasn't changed. His word is everlasting. Did he not make Adam and breathe in him and he became a living soul? So staying the same today. It's the same word. It hasn't changed one bit at all. So he's the same. He's the same. His word has not changed. Neither has he changed one bit at all. The scripture says in Matthew's. Chapter 15, verse 29, I want to begin reading a few verses here. Matthew 15, verse 29. Yahshua departed from thence, and he came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. And he went up into a mountain, and he sat down there. And a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Yahshua's feet, and he healed them. Verse 31. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk and the blind to see. You see, they were made whole. And they what? And they glorified Yahweh of Israel. That's what they did. When a man is maimed, and when he is made whole, he will glorify the Father. When he is feeble, when his feet has gone out of the way, it's nothing like being brought back into the right way, the proper way. You will bless the Father. And the scripture says, and they glorified, the King James was saying, they glorified, quote, God there. But they glorified Yahweh. Because they knew that only Yahweh, only He can heal. And they began to glorify them. Why? Because they were made whole. They were made whole. And we need that wholeness today. So He said fullness. You walk around every day, you heal. He keeps your body functioning. Sure He does. We just don't have that wholeness. That completion. Whereby there's oneness. The mind, heart, soul, and body. The old flesh wants to go one way. And the spirit wants the law of righteousness. That's why you got to crucify it and destroy it. That it doesn't rise up against the law of Yahweh. You get allowed to rise up and to take strength and rule over you. You can't do that, saints. They were made whole. And as they were made whole, they began to glorify the Father. They began to acknowledge Him for this wholeness. You can't bake a cake and leave out the sugar. It will not be a cake. You've got to add some sweetness to it. You can't use flour that is not self-rising, for the cake will flop. You need some lemon in there to make it rise. You must have that. And so if it's not that, then you don't have something whole. Just one little ingredient left out, it is not complete. And we must eat every word. We must live by every word that proceeded out of His mouth. And the old and the New Testament, not just the new, but all that He has spoken. Why? Because every word that He spoke is pure. Is the old His words? Yes. He spoke them. So every word is pure. Therefore the servants of Yahweh, they love His word. They trust them. We trust what He said. That's our comfort, the old. And the new is our assurance of hope. That's what it is. It shows us His mighty power. He brought a people out. He brought them out and He made them whole. And they turned their backs and diseases came in among them. Glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul says, I like this verse here. I know what it says. I want to read it like it says it. Paul says, and the very Yahweh of peace sanctify you, W-H-O-L-L-Y. He sanctify you wholly. He said, and I pray Yahweh, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Master Yahshua Messiah. Only Yahweh sanctify you wholly. And we must be whole. Body, soul, spirit, mind. You can't allow your flesh to serve sin. Talking about you serving Him with your heart, you're a liar. You're serving the devil in your flesh. The very Yahweh of peace sanctify you wholly. That's what He does. Your whole spirit. Not part of it. Soul and body. All of it preserved. Until the coming of Messiah. That's what He said. Let me move through these scriptures quickly. You know what they say. I want to read them. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want to read it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You can write it down. He always said, if my people were to call by my name, now this is what they first must do, shall humble themselves and pray. He said, and seek my face and then turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and then I will heal their land. So I will heal them. I will heal them. They will know that the work has been done by me. I will heal them. When you are walking in sin and corruption, and you have no idea what you're doing, when you can't hear Yahweh when He speaks, then you need the healing power of Almighty Yahweh. You need that more than you need your bone fixed. You need that. He said, I will heal the land. If my people, who are called by my name now, that's what He said. What name is it? Is it God, Lord? No, He has a name. That's why He said, if my people who are called by my name. Yeah, they knew the people of Yahweh. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 10. Isaiah 6:10. Isaiah. It says, make the hearts of the people fat and make their ear wax heavy. Now, this is your way. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. So he doesn't intend to heal them. He said, make them fat, because I don't want them to hear. I don't want them to see. I don't want them to be converted. I don't want to heal them. That's the Father? Sure it is. That's Yahweh's heart. He will have mercy, show mercy on whom he will. You can't change that. And it's not because of your grandmammy's prayer, your grandpappy or mine. It's by his sovereign will. He showed mercy on who he wanted to. And no prayer on all the earth save you. Your prayer ain't saved nobody. Your prayer ain't saved no sinner. I don't care if he was a drunkard, a sinner. He saved you as a sinner. He saved us because he saved us. And that's the truth. Not by any works that you've done. It's according to his grace. He saved us. It's his mercy he saved us. He doesn't give us anything we can boast in. I pray for you and you were saved. Lies. You didn't pray for me and I was saved. We've been taught that. I believe that. But that's not scripture. Nowhere in scripture where it says that. No example in scripture. Nowhere. Isaiah 53, verse 5. No, that's not where I want. Jeremiah 3, verse 22. He said this to us, Jeremiah 3, 22. He says, return ye, backslidden children. Let me turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. I want to read a couple of verses before that. Glory. You need to hear the word of faith. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21. It says, the voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. And that's what they had done. They have forgotten your way. He says to them, return ye back, slain children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, come unto me, for thou art your way. He said, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountain. Truly Yahweh is your Elohim, is the salvation of Israel. He said, return unto me, you backsliding children. And he said, I will heal your backsliding. Return unto him. He said, I will heal you from that spirit, from that backsliding. Now we slide backwards all the time on him, saints. We slide back to flesh, to perdition, slide back to our ways, and they never produce anything at all. So he said, return, just return now. He warns us that we're backslidden. Now just return. Truly salvation is not, you're not gonna garner salvation in the hills or in some kind of religious format. It is not gonna come that way. Some kind of religious constitution. That's what he was saying. It's not coming that way. He said, just return unto me. Well, who are they returning unto? They have to know who they're returning unto. Just couldn't be some God. It had to be a certain one. He said, you return to me and I will heal your back sliding. I will heal you from that disease. It's a sickening disease. He said, I will heal you from that, from your back sliding, from always sliding back. We need that healing. We slide back to flesh one day. You want to try to slide in the spiritual realm one hour, then you slide to flesh. That is not going to work that way. We are complete in him. In him. So we need to stay in him. And we walk in him, we will not be sliding back and forth. We will not be flipping like a pancake. We'll be steady. Our feet will be sure. Jeremiah 17:13. O Yahweh, the hope of Israel. He said, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth. Because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living water. That's what Messiah said he was. He said, I'm the fountain of the living water. Heal me, O Yahweh, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Only he can heal you, and you're going to be healed. Only Yahweh can save you, and you're going to be saved. That didn't change. It's the same today. He is the fountain of the living water. As Messiah proclaimed the same thing. They're one. There ain't no two. One. And he is. As he came in his Father's name. In that identity. That's why he was despised. He said, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But ye that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That hasn't changed. Our tradition has brought us down a way that's just wrong. And we're going to have to touch him to be made whole. And if you don't touch him, you're not going to ever be made whole. And that's the truth. None. None. Jeremiah 51, verse 7 through 9. And then Hosea chapter 6. Jeremiah 51, 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in Yahweh's hand, and made all the earth drunk. She has. And the nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into our own country, for her judgment reacheth into heaven, and is lifted up even to the sky. Now this Babylonian spirit, this Nietzschean here, there's not going to be any healing for it. None. She's not a whole nation. She's not going to be healed. And if you're in that spirit, you're not going to be healed. You're going to fall. You've been drunken. You've caused many to be drunken by your wines. The wine of your lips, your mouth, your words. That's why you must be very careful what you say. What you speak, say. You're going to be judged. Every last one of us. Who you are. You cause a brother for to be turned out of the way, a sister woe unto you. And okay, who you are. You've caused that preacher, I've rebuilt and reproved. I ain't gonna change that. Tell them the sins. Despise your way. And this is our remedy here, Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come, and let us return unto your way. Let us just know we have turned our hearts from him. Now let us just return unto him. For he hath torn. He hath torn us. Sure he has. He will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. So what do we do? Just return unto him. Just return unto his ways. Just come, let us return. Come back. Let's go back to the old landmarks. Let us just return. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. Come and let us return. He'll make us whole. He'll heal us. He will make us complete. If we just return, we just acknowledge that we have slidden and fallen backwards. Now what an easy rib, just come, let us return unto him. For he has torn. Yes, he has torn us. Cause our heart, our mind to be torn from which direction, we don't know which way to turn. We have been torn. And yet he will heal us. He has smitten us, and he wants to bind us up and to make us complete. That's it. Just return unto him. What? To the ways of truth, to his laws, his statutes, his righteous ways. That's all we have to do. That's all he wants us to do. Just return unto him and forsake your ways and your flesh. And just return unto him. Forsake your ways and live, saints. That's all we have to do. Just forsake ourselves and our identity. And we will begin to find life deep down in our souls. Return unto him and let us live and be made whole. May Yahweh bless you tonight. May he give you strength. For we need that wholeness tonight and to be complete in him. We do, saints. We don't know, as the old saints say, when we're going out of this earth. This is a reality that we are going out. And we need to be whole and complete. That doesn't mean you're going to have the same chance as others had. As a John Lindsay or Fred McClintock. That doesn't mean that. If he had to bring Fred all the way here just to save him. And lay him in that grave to save him. He did that. Had to bring Mother Smith here and lay on her bed. Quiet spirit. To save her. And to show her that she was saved. He did that. No hope. Truly in vain is there healing in their medicine. No healing. We need the wholeness, and it's only going to come by touching him. And so let us return back unto him. Let us forsake our ways. Let us forsake the things that we have done that we perceive to be right. Because in those things, nothing but death. May he bless you tonight. If you rest in comfort, he is coming.